Okay, it's 12 o'clock, and we'll call to order the Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers regular meeting for August 23rd, 2021. With that being said, we'll move to agenda announcements.
No announcements.
Okay, then we'll move to item three, and certainly, let me carry through the introductions.
Absolutely. Want to welcome Mayor Ray Richardson from Everman. Mayor Richardson, would you like to say some words about yourself real quick?
Like I said, I'm the mayor of Everman. I've been the mayor for the past 8 years, I believe. I'm retired Arlington firefighter with 32-plus years of service. I'm past chair of the Tarrant County Mayor's Council, so other than that, I spend my days at City Hall, or I'm at home babysitting my grandchildren, so. So, been retired 4 years now, so enjoying every minute of it, so.
Mayor, we're very glad you're here. This is just a really fun board. And lots of interesting things here, and very important things in your history of public safety and as a mayor of our county. Really glad to have you here, and I think it's very important work, and we'll appreciate your perspective.
Excited to be here.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
The conflict of interest affidavit, we'll just need your signature on that before you leave today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what I already did?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you. Chief Davis? Can you hear us? I think his volume is up here. Can you hear us, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. It's just fine.
Perfect.
Turn the volume on. Okay, item C.
Chief Davis, I'm sorry. Chief Richardson, I wanted to let you know that we do provide APCO membership. It's an online membership. I'm not sure if you're familiar with APCO. I can tell you some information about that. APCO, basically, they provide training at all levels for our telecommunicators, including EMD, fire service, as well as CTO training, which is communications training officer training. They also provide leadership programs, which is the registered public safety leader. That's generally for the line level supervisors. And they also provide a civic public safety executive program, which is for those managers and directors who's wanting to be in an executive position. They also provide standards that covers operations, technical, as well as training for telecommunicators. They also deal with government relations. Basically, in regards to government relations, they provide an advocacy for the policies, regulations, and legislations that's of importance for APCO members. Right now, the two important legislators that's important right now that they're working on is reclassification of telecommunicators. And the second one is the Lift America Act, which is really important monetary-wise because it deals with infrastructure proposal that includes $15 billion that will support the deployment of Next Gen 911. So the whole idea behind membership is it can save money whenever they have conferences or events. Sometimes their trainings, you can get a discount, or some of the training is also free. So if you're interested in a membership, we can definitely add you to that.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Get that, Craig?
Yeah, get it off.
Fortunately, my public safety is behind you, so.
Yes. So they're definitely familiar with it. I know Beverly for sure is.
Okay.
All right, we'll move to item four, consent agenda.
Move approval of consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brunson. And a second by Ms. Offer. Let's go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's move to item five, purchases over $25,000.
All right. Abigail is here to discuss both A and B, the Spectrum commercials, as well as Exposure, the bus and bench ads.
Hi, everyone. Happy Monday. I'm going to the Spectrum. I already did one round of ads with them. It was for the text 911, where we did the bookends, and I explained this the last time we did the bookends for the text. So I figured that it probably wasn't going to be the worst idea to do one for hiring and to drive them to the website to where everyone is listed. And so with that being said, per the policy, obviously if I go to the 20, then I'm over the $25,000 commission. So it's commission for that. And then the other one is the bus and bench ads. And again, same situation there. I've been running the bus ads for the Trinity buses in downtown Fort Worth, and I figured I was just going to take the billboard that I did and slap that guy on the side of the bus just to have him run around down there too. So, and we're actually going to do, it's actually more feasible. We're going to get more coverage if we, I'm going to get away with the benches themselves and then just put more of my stock in the buses. So I can get two more buses than I can if I take away the benches. So I can do that, so.
I have a question.
Sure.
Have we explored, I mean, these are great, but given that the group of folks that we're trying to target are on social media, mm-hmm. have we tried to do like Facebook ads or other social media ads, not just Tarrant County pushing it out on their page, but actually doing sponsored ads through Facebook? So if people don't know about Tarrant County 911 at all, they have an opportunity to get in front of those people that are on social media with these opportunities?
Yeah, how that works is that I do boost the ads. I do pay for that. Mm-hmm. I can always go on a Google form and actually pay for ads so it goes on the search engine, mm-hmm. and I can pay for that, which will take them back to the website. But for the past year and a half, I have been boosting ads. So every time that you would see an ad that comes from the Tarrant County 911 district page, mm-hmm. I have paid to do that, and I put the radius at for the whole radius. Actually, yeah, the whole radius goes 25 miles from this pinpoint from this address.
Okay.
So it does reach. I think a lot of the ads were reaching about the highest one, which is this last one with the picture of the billboard, and that reached 7,000 people in a week.
Okay.
So we are out there. To be honest, just put that out there. It's just a lot of competition, not just our industry, but also sorts of industries together. Right. So, but the park events and all the outings I'm doing, I'm actually getting more and more people that are coming to me saying, I saw the billboard, I saw this, where do I apply? Because we actually put on the trivia when I'm out there. True or false, you can go to TC911 and apply for and look at all the jobs that are hiring in Tarrant County. So a lot of people are eating that up right now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So real quickly, I know, what kind of feedback are you getting on the job marketing issue?
The only thing that's coming back is the pay. So a lot of citizens are coming up to me and they've gone to the website and they check out the pay and they'll ask me, what's the pay for this? You get different pay if you work night shift. I don't work night shift, they don't pay me. Basically, time off, holidays, and them knowing that there is a shortage. I've had a couple people that have actually said things to the realm of, will I get time off or am I gonna get thrown into all this overtime? So they're noticing it because it's been out there. So that's just some of the feedback I'm getting from the public.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
We have a motion for items A and B.
Move approval of items A and B.
Second. Second. Chief Scrappy. Chief Davis, we know you're there, so we're going to ask.
Yes.
All those in favor? Second.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Here we go. Aye, Chief Davis. It's unanimous. Motion carries. Go to item C.
Item C is actually has to do with an add-on for our lab environment. We've had some requests from some of our agencies to provide some additional services that the VESTA system is capable of. And in order to do that, it requires some additional bits and pieces. So we've got a quote here for $37,740.70 that would allow us to bring this specific technology into our lab. We'll test that out there, see how it works, have agencies come take a look at it. See exactly what they want, what they don't want. You know, we've noticed over the past many years that sometimes the features that we turn on have undesired effects when we actually get it going. So that's one of those things we're looking forward to, being able to offer up to some of the agencies that are looking for, and would handle the ability to do automatic call back for abandoned calls, as well as a form of call tree capability.
Call tree, meaning like Q&A questions built into VESTA?
No, the idea is essentially it's going to allow you to move from one queue to another queue by touch tones or in some cases some voice activated possibilities. We need to see exactly what its capabilities are. We understand there's some limitations. We're aware of one agency just recently turned on using one of those features. The automatic abandoned callback is actually being trialed within Texas, down in San Antonio. So we're looking to see. It looks like it's going fairly well, but they're still in trial for some of that. The other aspect of it has gone fairly well. Initially, when they turned it up, it caused a lot of havoc they've gotten that worked out. So we'd like to get into the lab, see how it works, make sure it's not going to cause a lot of havoc, and then see what we can do about it if necessary, deploying it out there for the agencies that feel they need something like that.
So this cost is the purchase of that interface or software to be able to bring it into the lab to test it?
It's hardware, software, and configuration associated with that, correct.
So you're saying Vesta already has this capability, this technology is connected?
The technology is capable within Vesta, but it was not originally provisioned that way since there was no interest in this originally. So it was not, when we ordered the original Vesta system for the district, including all of the agencies associated and tied to it, this was not one of the features that was interest. It was not part of the RFP, so we're looking at this as something new. So we said, let's bring it in our lab, test it out, make sure it's not going to break anything else, see how useful it's going to be, find the gotchas associated with it, then have some of the agencies interested come through and take a look and see if it's going to meet those needs in the way they're thinking. We've run across many times where we've got features that we turn on the field fairly recently in the case where it does not always do what the agencies expect it to do, or there's some undesirable consequences associated with it they didn't fully realize. So we try to kind of knock all those out in the lab to get the experience there before turning it up live.
So the cost is to bring it in to try it to see if it works?
Yes, ma'am.
The cost, okay, that's
what. And this is only for two pieces of functionality, or does this hardware that you mentioned set us up to test additional functionality down the road?
There may be some additional functionality that they build into this, but really this particular solution really just represents the queue selector and the online command callback.
Okay.
They have a tendency to kind of build on to what they've got, so right now that's what it does. I would expect they would continue building out capabilities.
And if the agencies that you bring in think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, what's a ballpark for what it would cost to roll it out to the district?
That is unknown because we're...
To the nearest 100,000.
It all depends on the capabilities and how scalable this aspect of it is. What they did in San Antonio, it was designed for one specific agency. This should be plugged into the host site, so there's potential of anywhere from just under 100,000 to the number of agencies that might need it times 37,000.
Okay, so on the queue selector, it will give the caller the option to go to a queue to request some type of mental health related issue as opposed to...
I am not able to answer that at this time. That's one of the things that we want to understand. There's a lot of different types of queues, and I don't want to get too technical on this, but it depends, do you keep it within the Vesta environment, or does it need to be shipped back to the local city's PBX, where they've actually got queues built into their system? So there's a lot of questions we really understand. I talked about some of the consequences, that once we put this in place, there may need to be some interaction, depending on what the cities that are interested in using this have capabilities to afford.
But that'd be important to find out, because you can get... There's lots of money for mental health type of things right now to put the infrastructure in place.
And so you'll be able to, based on if we go with the software and we move forward, each agency is going to be able to select what works best for that agency, or you're trying to look at it as a whole?
We want to put it into our lab to see that it's not going to break anything else. Okay. We understand the limitations and capabilities of it. And once we've got a pretty good feel for that, then offer up some specific elements of this. And that's something, it's a traditional approach we've taken with all the previous equipment we put out in the field before. There's often a lot of features that just don't make a lot of sense, and when we've talked to agencies about it, it's been decided that nobody had any interest in some of those. Having a small kind of mini CAD that's tied into the telephony system has had no interest. The people that are interested in CAD already have CAD. The ones that don't have CAD don't want to mess with it. So features like that have been available you can add on like this, but there's been no interest in it from the agencies, so we've not gone that route. This is one of those examples that if this is something that looks like it may be able to help some of our agencies, let's get in our lab, let's investigate it, find out how it really works, what the limitations are, how it would interface with each of the agencies that are interested, and get a feel for it from there. Anything that we put into the field, we like to run through our lab first, from a safety standpoint, just because we don't want to be caught off guard putting something into a live environment.
Have you been talking to the PSAP managers?
We've talked to some, that we've got two at least that are interested in some of the capabilities of it. Depending on what its capabilities are, there may be more, or depending on some of the limitations, there may be less. But that's what this is specifically for. It's for the lab environment, for a test trial, but build out to see what we can do.
Is that about the average cost that we spend every time we test out new functionality in the Vesta lab? It just seems like a lot of money to test something that we may or may not use. So I'm just trying to understand, like, if we spend this $37,000 to test it and nobody likes it, then we're eating the $37,000. If everybody loves it, is this setting us up to spread this to the rest of the system potentially? I know you're saying every agency has some cost factored in there, as they would have to work with their PBX switches and such, but.
There may be some costs associated with it. It depends on its capabilities. There may not be to the agencies.
Okay.
For the individual items that we end up testing and trialing in our lab, it all depends on what it is exactly. In this case, it's something specific that we've had some interest from multiple agencies for. It looks like it's not a bad idea. It's a neat, feasible concept that would actually help out a lot of the agencies we have. So the idea was to take this one on, put it to the board, see, we'd like to bring this to the lab. We've had requests from some of our agencies, and this seems to fit that bill as something that would be beneficial. So it depends on what it is. There's lots of other capabilities that we don't go towards until either we know that's something the agencies are interested in, or we're approached by the agency saying, we're really trying to do this. Here's our problem. What do you have as a solution to help us fix that? And then we've got some ability to figure out what we've got.
So I get the automatic abandoned callback. I get that. The Q selector, is this mental health, or is this fireworks? What is this?
It could be.
So this is like the Fort Worth call tree, where you call, if you need this, press 1, if you need this, press 2 type situation.
Yeah.
From a non-911 system, PBX.
The interaction between the city PBXs and the Vesta system and what these capabilities are, we're very interested to understand. We know it has the ability to manage things within the Vesta system. Once we understand the limitations of that, we need to make some decisions on what we want to do with that as a district or as the individual agencies. Some of these have been tried in the past in the way of managing queues of emergency calls by a call tree very catastrophically. The idea of you want to press 1 because I need an ambulance because I'm injured. It's great, so we'll send an ambulance out there, only to find out it's because he was shot, and there's a gunman still there. So there's a lot of things that we need to be aware of as to how this actually is going to function, what the capabilities are, and then to pass on to the agencies some of these concerns that you need to be aware if it goes down this path, this vectoring of call path, you need to be aware of how this might completely, in some cases, bypass certain operational aspects.
Are there any other districts that have employed this solution that we've already spoken to see their feedback?
We know San Antonio has done this. Originally, when they put it in place, they had a lot of problems. It went poor. They actually had some losses on some things. But my understanding is they've now got it stabilized, and the Q selector is working well. My understanding is they just recently started trialing the automatic callback for the band calls.
So I guess what we've done here originally, we've gone the non-emergency route for certain things, and what this solution is going through the 911 system, just putting it into a different queue, a non-emergency queue potentially.
Or in some cases, it's not just necessarily queues, it could be to another agency. Or in some cases, an example would be I'm calling Fort Worth, and I'm getting the recording, and I want to get to the fire department because I have a fire need, not a police need. I might be able to initiate something that would allow me to get to the fire department directly, completely bypassing police as a possibility.
What we have in place now is call this number, so it's the same thing, the push button feature we talked about before.
Could you be routed to code enforcement?
There's a lot of possibilities. And that's some of what we want to see and understand.
Mm-hmm.
Once
agency.
Once you go back into the city's PBX, That is always a tricky thing. Interaction with the city's PBX is always one of the most challenging things that we deal with. You're dealing with two completely different technologies and different systems, and they have to speak the same language and route between them successfully. And every city, it seems, has a slightly different PBX and a different configuration and a different vintage.
Have the interested agencies given you a features desired punch list?
We've had, we've been approached by two different AGs. I'll take the easiest one first. They were interested in the possibility of using it for abandoned callback. The other agency has been interested in possibly for abandoned callback as well as some call tree capabilities to help manage calls in a larger center. Answer is yes.
I think abandoned callback is the biggest thing we have right now.
And Don, this is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim. Chief.
I can't quite hear everybody. Lee has weighed in on this, but with some of the recent staffing issues agencies have seen, I think that Fort Worth has an interest in seeing if this is potentially a long-term solution where not as much for the non-emergency, but the emergency, press one if you need the police department, two if you need the fire department, three if you need MedStar type conversation. Julie, I don't know if you've commented on that, but do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're right there with you. I think exploring the technology and understanding how this, how we're processing this is just really sort of what my interest is.
Mine too.
And this is a newer technology we've not dealt with in the past, so especially for that reason, we'd like to see it in the lab, understand what kind of fault tolerance it has. In some cases, some of the features like this they put out may not be fully fault tolerant. It may be a nice add-on. If it's not critical, that's okay. If it is critical, we might need to identify that and re-engineer. So there's a lot of things we need to understand about it. We want to put it in the lab first, just to make sure once we put it out there, we know the width and breadth of what we're doing and then how we best maintain it.
What's your targeted timeline to complete the evaluation?
For the evaluation, for something like this, it would probably take 3-ish weeks, and that would include bringing some agencies to take a look at how we get configured. Without, you know, we've got the spec sheet on this. We've kind of gone through the manual and understand how it works. It's a there's a lot of capabilities that it has, and because of that, we want to make sure we understand how it interacts with other capabilities that. Since this is an adjunct system to VESTA, how it interacts with other existing VESTA solutions, other configurations we've got there, so they're not going to interact negatively with each other.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion by Chief Spivey.
Second.
Second by Mr. Brunson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chief Davis? Motion passes. Unanimous. Okay, let's move to item 6.
All right. Chief Spencer with Everman is here to, with his team to discuss financial assistance. They have a presentation.
Good afternoon. Can I stand over here?
Yeah. All right.
First off, distinguished members of the board, thank you for allowing us to come up here and discuss what we're looking to do down in Everman. My name is Craig Spencer. I'm the city manager and the police chief down in Everman. I've been there for the last 10 years. In September, I'll start my 20th year in public safety. I wanted to give you kind of the 30,000-foot overview of what's going on and how we've gotten to the point that we're at right now. Currently, the city of Everman operates its own dispatch center. It is a primary PSAP location. We operate with 4 full-time dispatchers and 1 part-time dispatcher. It means one dispatcher is on at a time. There's no backup there. There's no assistance form or anything along those lines. They're responsible for both call taking and dispatching for police, fire, and EMS, all within our municipality. We currently don't have hardly any integration capabilities, and that's because we operate on a totally different system than just about what any other agency operates on. We're operating on Telex. The board has been gracious enough to offer us some Motorola upgrades that we've been working with Travis Trevino and now Levi on implementing those. We've been working on this for about a year and a half. And right about the time we're ready to implement it, we've got a little kink that comes in this, which I'm going to explain. Next, I just want to give you a brief overview of Tarrant County Fire Alarm. Tarrant County Fire Alarm is not a municipal entity. They're a 501c3 organization, nonprofit entity, that offers dispatch services for fire, roughly 15 different fire departments throughout the county. Some of those fire departments, they provide dispatch services just in county area. Some of those fire departments, they provide both municipal and county area response dispatch services for. There's roughly 2 to 3 telecommunicators on at any given time. They also struggle with integration capabilities because they are also operating on a completely different system than a Motorola system, like many of the other agencies are. Neither one of us currently have any station alerting systems, which those of you involved with the fire service are aware of how valuable those tools are to have. So let me give you the scenario and what we're facing now. Tarrant County Fire Alarm is currently housed out of the Saginaw Fire Station. Last year, the city of Saginaw pursued a bond package to build them a brand new fire station. And within that bond package, there was not funding there allocated to give Tarrant County Fire Alarm a space within the new station for them to continue to operate out of. So over the past year, Tarrant County Fire Alarm has been working at trying to figure out and address the issue of where they're going to be located, because the old facility is not going to be in existence anymore either, and how they were going to move forward. They've pursued several different avenues. They've pursued MedStar, they've pursued county, and all those have just kind of fallen by the wayside. Simultaneously, while that was going on, I was working with our city council and the previous city manager and economic development director and pursuing a bond package within the city. Our bond package was going to address a new fire station or fire station renovation, new civic center, and coupled with the fire station was supposed to be a new IT room that would service both our fire station, which is located immediately next door to the police department. So we were already on the path to improving our dispatch capabilities, coupled with working with Tarrant County 911 and the Motorola upgrades. So all this was happening while Saginaw and Tarrant County Fire Alarm were struggling with their issue over here. My idea, my concept that I took to the Tarrant County Fire Alarm Board, and we're still kind of in the incipient phases, although we're getting much closer, was instead of looking for an alternate location and paying for all the separate infrastructure that you would have to pay for, why don't we join forces and why don't we share that infrastructure? I'm not looking to charge Tarrant County Fire Alarm anything to move in with us. My whole goal here was to combine our services, bring everything underneath one umbrella, and share those costs because we're both going to need to have that infrastructure. So rather than them paying for it and us paying for it, I just wanted to combine everything and hopefully save costs. Not only would it save costs for both entities, but it would actually provide us with backups to each other's agencies and increase our capability. As we started kind of running with this idea, we would come to find out that the 750 square foot room that we were looking to allocate for this would actually be able to hold up to 7 dispatch consoles, which gives us future growth potential further down the line if we decide to take on any other agencies or have any expansions there. Tarrant County Fire Alarm has been on board with it so far, and we've been negotiating budgets and working through everything. As we started this process, I wanted to include Tarrant County 911 in the speccing process from the get-go. Because what I didn't want to happen is we spec out this nice new facility and 911 comes in and says, well, it looks pretty, but it's wrong. So Kevin and I actually started having conversations from the very get-go in talking about this. And as these conversations went on, we started getting more and more in-depth about the technical requirements, Tarrant County Fire Alarm's needs, our needs, and when we combined all that stuff together, it exceeded what the city of Everman had already withdrawn from the bond to be able to cover this package. And it exceeded what Tarrant County Fire Alarm has available to help fund with. So I'm going to go into detail on that. This page with the layout of it, you'll see that there's 7 dispatch consoles that we're looking to convert within our PD training room. Attached to that would be the addition, which is the IT room that sits right next door to the fire station and police department. So this IT room will be able to serve both facilities. On the next page is just a brief summary of the construction project status. I just wanted to highlight that the city of Everman took out $2.6 million in bond packages to address the original estimated issues that you'll see below on the left. The fire station, civic center, the communications construction, and the furniture upfitting that goes with the dispatch renovations. Our initial estimates when we were doing the design build process with our firm was $95,000 to provide the updates that we needed in dispatch. Those funds were already obtained prior to starting the negotiations and talking with a proposal about Tarrant County Fireland coming down. That cost has gone up significantly. Now we've gone on the communications construction from $35,000 up to $120,000. So it's exceeded quite a bit. Leaves us with a difference of $97,181. Prior to coming to you, I took this back to Tarrant County Fire Alarm Board and began conversing with them about how they wanted to address these issues. Tarrant County Fire Alarm does have reserve funds built there, and they are planning to utilize some of those reserve funds to cover their moving costs. What they have flexible within their budget, and what they've told me, is they have up to $45,000 to be able to help cover the rest of this. The rest of those funds that they have are going to essentially go towards the cost of relocating all of their equipment and furniture and things back down to Evan. The next page is just the construction breakdown that we've gotten from the contractor. Down at the bottom, you'll notice that it says total job cost is $81,000. But if you'll notice on that electrical work, rough and trim, M&L, that is highlighted because the cost is still to be determined. He has estimated that for me at $30,000 right now. We won't know the exact cost of that until we send the MEP plans out for bid. And that will be once we get through the final approval process between us and 911, which I think we're pretty close to be at. What does this not include? So this does not include UPS systems, which we're conversing with 911 about. Obviously, 911's going to provide UPS systems for your equipment, your stuff. We're working on agreements and trying to figure out as far as other outside equipment. This does not include IT equipment racks for police department or fire department equipment. It does not include equipment relocation costs, which Tarrant County Fire Alarm will have to cover out of their budget. And this also does not include the backup generator cost. However, we are working with Randy Renwall, the Tarrant County Fire Marshal, who is pursuing funding through ARPA funds to obtain that through the county, and he feels confident that that's going to happen. So what I'm coming to you today to ask is your support, your assistance on this project. I think it's important to not only the city of Everman, but it's important to the 15 other fire departments that rely upon Tarrant County Fire Alarm Services to be able to make this happen. I think consolidating and bringing everything into one location is going to be an extreme benefit and cost-saving measures to both fire alarm as well as the city of Everman and ultimately the county. To be able to do this, I'm just asking for, we're seeking roughly $50,000, up to $50,000 in assistance. I think the last figure was 45. Obviously, that number is going to be up to you on what you feel comfortable on supporting this project with, if you feel comfortable supporting. Any questions? I know that's the 30,000 view of everyone.
So, if we support this project, are you willing to be open to consolidation with other agencies available?
Yes, that is the long-term goal. Actually, we've already been in conversation with a couple other agencies. I don't want to throw them under a bus here, but we've already been in conversation with other agencies that are interested in either police or fire services. This will, by relocating to Everman, this will provide one single site that's able to provide all those services. Previously, fire alarms never been able to offer police dispatching services because they don't have the staff there. They have a specialty in fire service dispatch that currently the police department doesn't. So I think bringing those two together will provide a really unique, beneficial service to the smaller departments in Tarrant County.
And does this proposal or the structure of that center offer enough room for growth if you're going to partner with other agencies to provide that law enforcement dispatch?
Yes, up to 7. So right now with current operations, we've been operating with a maximum of 4 dispatchers on at a time. That gives us room for 3 more dispatchers to add in there. Okay. General operations would be 3 to 4 dispatchers in there at a time, operating how we currently are.
And are you guys backup for any other agency as a backup PSAP currently?
I believe Forest Hill, but that's the only location. And they're also a backup for us.
When would that project start if we chose to?
Pretty much as soon as I can guarantee the funding, my contractor's ready to break ground and move on. We were hoping to have this done at the same time we had the fire station completed, and we did the ribbon cutting on the fire station a couple weeks ago. The fire alarm move and the conversations with 911 have kind of just pushed that timeline back. We're ready to go. I have the funding ready to go from the city. I've got the funding ready to go from fire alarm. We're just short this $45,000 to $50,000.
Brunson.
Question not for you, but for Chantel.
Yes, sir.
What's the available balances in our two assistance funds?
Well, they're about to start over. Emil, do you have that with you on hand?
Not what we haven't spent this year.
Believe me, if you look at our statement of activities, which is for the month of July, and I'm not sure how much the applications are in the pipeline. I would defer that to Levi to answer that, but we spent available funds right now in the assistance.
Both double.
If I can get my page.
I would think there's money left over in the PSAP assistance fund.
Page 8.
$754,000 as of July. Left over.
I think, I mean, this project would fit that category.
Would fit that category. It's money that we've certainly thrown away money on other projects that aren't nearly as important as this.
Right. So I would say suggest that we direct the executive director to engage Everman in a work plan item, and we can draw up appropriate arrangement with Everman to see if we could facilitate this in an effective, cost-effective way. But we would use PSAP funds to fund it. Does that sound reasonable, everyone?
You need a motion?
Yeah, this is good. Take a motion, a second, a vote to approve the use of those funds. Absolutely.
I'll make the motion. We approve the use of those funds.
I'll second.
She
seconds.
All right. I'm abstaining. Mayor, you will be abstaining from this one. Yes, sir. So we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chief Davis?
Aye.
Aye. One abstention. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all very much. I really do appreciate it. My contact information is on the card provided with a PowerPoint, so if you need anything or have any other questions or just want to check on the project, please feel free to reach out to
me. We will be in touch.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Unless you need us, I think we're going to vote you out.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
This is pretty exciting because we've been talking about getting more aggressive with our consolidations, and today we've got our money where it's now.
Okay, let's move to item 7.
Field? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one, I'm sorry. The next board meeting is September 20th. September 20th.
No, this is AT&T.
Oh, I'm going way ahead. I'm excited about that.
I think this one just for the sake of it.
Thank you.
I want to make this, at least to kind of make you guys aware that this doesn't exactly fall in a contract, but it's an agreement. I want at least everybody to see. Legal has had a chance to review, so make some additional comments to it. This has some specific construction needs for part of the network redesign, where we're trying to put some additional capabilities for additional reliability for the 911 pathways, and these will be put in place, but there's some construction charges associated with it. And the idea is to get these in place so they can get construction as soon as possible. Therefore, four different locations, and it's quite reasonable for what it is. I just want to make sure you're aware of it.
Any questions from the board? We're aware now.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Item 8.
Next board meeting, September 20th.
I think I do have a question. I'll interject right here. Just checking to see how the organization is doing right now. Obviously, going through transition. Are things stable?
Yes, for the most part.
Okay. Anything that the board needs to hear at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay.
What about the camaraderie across the organization?
We're working on that.
That's really important that both sides of the building are getting along. Because really should have no reason why you're not now.
We have the same sentiments.
Completely agree. We've been working towards that.
Good.
All right. We'll move to legislative update.
Speaking of camaraderie and getting along, I'll take the opportunity to go see him. I'm sure you've seen by now, Democrats have started to come back to Austin. We expect there to be a quorum today. In fact, the House has been working on the elections bill this morning in committee, along with a lot of other Governor Abbott's items that he added to the call. But the House will go in this afternoon at 4 p.m. And again, a quorum will be expected. Not every Democrat is going to be back, but there will be one. And they've got a few weeks left in the special session to get this elections bill passed and whatever else the governor added to the call. A few weeks ago, I was participated in a meeting with a representative from the Comptroller's Office, CSEC's executive director, their general counsel, the president of AT&T Texas, 911 Alliance leadership, as well as their attorneys and other lobbyists to talk about House Bill 2911. As you know, that's the bill that created the Next Generation 911 Fund, which is supposed to be funded by federal dollars that Texas will receive from the American Rescue Act. Now, the meeting was really to talk about the implementation of this fund and the timeline. And how this is supposed to work is, in the fall, the governor is expected to call the legislature back to divvy up these funds that we're supposed to receive, the state is supposed to receive from the federal government. The governor's office has to request these funds from the federal government. Once the funds are received, the legislature then determines how all of this money is going to be allocated, including the money that is going into the Next Generation 911 Fund. In the meantime, the Comptroller's Office is working on rules that would establish a Next Generation 911 Fund, and we will get a draft of that before the final draft is released. I expect that to happen in the next month, maybe 2 months. But there's going to be a 60-day comment period on that final draft as well. The way that the controller's rule will work is it's simply going to establish this fund and transfer it over to CSEC to administer. And CSEC is drafting a mechanism on how these funds are going to be allocated to the 911 districts around the state. I do expect Population Serve to play a role in this, but they're working on a cost template that they are going to send to every district to basically list all of the costs you need to implement Next Generation 911. While this is going on, I and the other 911 lobbyists are going to have to be meeting and staying on top of members of the House Appropriations Committee and the Senate Finance Committee to make sure the Next Generation 911 Fund gets as much federal dollars as possible, and for me to make sure that this district receives its appropriate amount of funding. This was the first meeting we've had like this with all the stakeholders in the room. There should be more meetings in the next couple of months, but that's really the biggest thing that's been going on 911 related in Austin.
I thought that dollar figure was already determined.
The governor wants it to be at least $100 million. We are pushing for as much over that as possible. I mean, the idea, and with AT&T behind us, that's a big, big help, because the idea was $100 the floor, let's ask for as much if we possibly can. And that's why this cost template is going to be so important for all these districts to include exactly what they need, because as you know, some districts are further along than others.
This is only for a 2-year time frame?
Exactly.
Okay. So, and we'll be allowed to comment on the rulemaking?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What does this board need to be doing now on the cost template? time to start?
I think as soon as you receive it from CSAC, and absolutely.
Yeah, I think that'll be the topic of our board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do we have some ideas planning how much money that the district needs?
We have a general idea. In fact, about a month ago, the Alliance Group sent an email for a survey from all of us to give an estimate on what we think we may need at that cost. So Kevin and I worked on that and submitted that back to them. A general idea. We don't know. Without knowing exactly how much the product is going to cost, it's kind of hard to actually give exact numbers.
One of the challenges is going to be the recurring costs. Typically, the non-recurring are not as challenging. It's usually a chunk of change to make that happen. But the recurring costs are expected to be substantial.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a discussion point in that meeting. Because when we meet with these members of the legislature, we have to make them understand it's not just flipping a switch and we're good. These recurring costs, as you said, are going to be substantial. And we're going to be coming back to them in 2 years to get some sort of permanent funding mechanism in place.
Right. That is the problem.
Yep.
Okay. So we're all on the same page, right? All right, let's move to item 10.
Well, the last board meeting, you guys did discuss this and approved it. We just basically need signatures now.
Okay. We'll make that happen.
Okay.
All right. Just do it during the meeting. Let's go ahead and move to the 2022 budget.
Are there any questions in regards to the budget?
Bronson, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? So, do I hear a motion on the 2022 budget?
I'll move to approve.
Do you have a motion? Do you have a second?
Second.
Do you have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Sorry. It's unanimous, Chief Davis. All right, then I'll take us into executive session.
Do I need to sign that before I go?
Yes.
Moving to executive session, section 551.071, 551.074, deliberation of our employment evaluation, reassignment duties, discipline, and or dismissal of said employees, Executive Director of Human Resources Administrator. It is 1:05, we are reconvening open session, we're coming out of executive. With that, I have a motion from the board.
I'll make a motion that we approve the agreement and release with Shinar Haynes as discussed in executive session.
Second.
Motion by Chief Spivey, second by Mr. Brunson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chief Davis?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 14, public comment. The public being here, we move to item 15. We'll call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
You need our signatures on that.
Bye, Chief Davis.
We all need to buy
yes.
You're welcome.
Chantel, what was it you needed all of us to sign?
The fee structure, yes.
The fee structure.
So we've got one signature.
I think it's Robert Arson.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.